Good evening, gentlemen and ladies. And we're here tonight to start to unfold and discover the mysteries of malt whiskies from Britain, and that could well include England and Wales. So I've just been on a 2,400-mile, 12-day trip around Britain, and I bought a Tamnavulin Speyside Single Malt Sherry Cask Edition in Ashford, Kent. And I took that bottle all the way up above Inverness and back down and enjoyed it as and when I went. And when I got to Suffolk on the final part of my trip, I enjoyed the Ardbeg and the Laphroaig, and my friend presented me with a Laphroaig. So let's have a look at three magnificent Scottish malt whiskies to kick off, okay? One of them is cheating a little bit because it's not a malt whiskey, okay? But I want to try and cover a lot of interesting ground here. And I'm hoping that you're going to snuck in with me, buy yourself a few cigars, get yourself a nice table and chairs out under the stars. And what with stars and cigars and some fantastic whiskies, we're going to settle in and enjoy this particular winter like we've never enjoyed a winter before nor since. Okay, so what I'm going to do right now is I'm just going to pour the first whiskey into a glass, and we're going to get the third whiskey. So I'm going to be trying three different whiskies tonight, and I want you to get in with me here. Go and get yourself a couple of whiskies. Sainsbury's always have quite a number of them on, a real bargain, okay, and there's a pretty good choice there. So we're going to discover three very contrasting whiskies today, and then we're going to look, you know, deeper in all the time. I mean, there's some glorious malts out there. Let's see what we can find. Okay, so this is going to be a series that runs right over this winter, and hopefully I will, you know, discover some real gems, and hopefully you will as well. And I just want to really point you in some directions where you might like to go, where you might like to avoid. But don't be coy, right? The beautiful thing about whiskies is that for much the same price as a great many other spirits, you're going to get something that you can put a tiny amount of in a glass and sip it and just be happy. You don't have to make it into a blend. You don't have to make it into a cocktail. You don't have to glug it. Half an inch sipped, preferably with a nice cigar under the stars. That is going to give you a full measure of real life. And hopefully you're just going to enjoy being whoever you are. That's my hope. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to reach over for the Laphroaig, and I'm going to pour the Tamnavulin into glass, and I'm going to take a picture, and then I'm going to talk through them. Okay. And so what we've got here today, it's the blue Tamnavulin. So there's at least three on the market now. Okay. And this one is a new one to me. It's not the sherry cask, which I had last week. It's the port cask edition. Port. I don't think I've ever had any spirit that was matured in a port cask. So I thought this is pretty exciting. Now, I think I'm right in saying all of these three are 70 centilitres at 40%. But there's a lot of whiskies out there that are more than 40% And my opinion is you're getting fantastic value if you can get one for 46%, because it's even stronger and you need even less of it. Now, traditionally, a lot of whiskey blenders and malters themselves like to take the whiskey with just a drop of water. But my point is, it's already 40%. And I don't know if you know this, but whiskey comes in at least 60 and usually over percent. So the whiskey that you're buying in the shops has already been watered down. It's been watered down to get it to 40%, because that's the lowest percent they're allowed to sell it. And so if you're buying whiskey at 40%, you're paying maximum for as little as they feel they can give you. And that's not really an attitude that I like in the world of commerce. But all of these very famous whiskies are 40%. So I think I've got a fantastic choice here, and it's going to lay the foundation for what we're going to discover in the future. Okay, I am a total sucker for a whiskey that comes in a box. Yeah, I just love the boxes. You can keep the boxes and you can put things in them like old beer tops, or, you know, little notes that you want to write yourself or whatever. So, design and build yourself a shelf just for empty whiskey bottle boxes, okay? So we've got right at the top of the trees here, we've got the Lafroy Islay single malt Scotch whiskey aged 10 years, and it's their unforgettable edition, and it's bold, peaty and earthy. It's 40%, okay? And it's really the benchmark for peat smoke whiskies. And then we've got the Tamnivulin Speyside. So your whiskies from Scotland essentially are Speyside, Highland or Island whiskies, right? The Speyside single malt Scotch whiskey port cask edition, again it's 40%. And then we've got the famous Grouse Smoky Black. Now, it's not a malt whiskey. It's a blended Scotch whiskey, okay? But the reason that I bought it was, many years ago, they bought this out in a box, beautiful box, and they called it the Black Grouse. And it was superb. And then for some reason or other, they decided that it wasn't commercially viable. I think because on the price they were selling it, they just couldn't make enough profit. And so they withdrew it from the market for some years. But now it's come back as Smoky Black, the famous Grouse blended whiskey, 40%. Right? So I thought, let's give it a go. So we've got three different price ranges here. Under £20, just over £20 on a discount, and £42, all right? Now, these three are really going to give us pole position of where it's at, and then we're going to branch off over the months and see what else we can find. But what I suggest is you drink your whiskey absolutely neat, right? I just take a little bit of it and you totally savour it, and it's the pinpoint, the pinnacle of your evening, and you just meditate on it. Contemplate, meditate, innovate. Of course, you can add, if you're feeling a bit, you know, ill, you could add sliced root ginger and fresh lemon juice. You could have whiskey on the rocks, or you could waste yourself with Whiskey Mac. Now, I love Whiskey Mac, so that's half any whiskey and half ginger wine. But you're not ever going to understand or appreciate whiskies if you mix it up with that tosh. Right, just as it is. That's what I wanted to find out. What is it? Right, so I'm going to be pouring 1/4 inch and see where it takes me. And the first one I'm going to go for is the Tamnivulin Port Cask Edition. And I want you to get really excited about this. Pour yourself something nice. Let's see where we're going. So I've chosen this one because it's not only middle of the range here, but it's really going out on a limb with this port cask. It's a totally strange new idea in Speyside. There's some notes on it. It says it's rich, fruity and balanced, matured in American oak barrels and tawny port casks, offering a sumptuous addition to their range. Deep mahogany in colour, the expression has aromas of ripe red berries, plums, dark chocolate and spiced orange. I say, doesn't that sound good? Yeah, it's a lot darker in the bottle than the sherry cask. And the sherry cask is just drink me now deliciousness. Right, so it's a really good starter for malt whiskey, the Tamnyu Brewlin sherry cask, but this is the port cask. So let's see where we go. I'm going to just pour a little bit and I'm going to take a photograph, okay, and then I'm going to just really get into what this is doing. Right, so let me just pole position that. I'm going to just talk about the glass as well while I'm doing this. So I previously, until just like about couple of weeks ago, I didn't realize how massively important the glass is, the shape of the glass, the design of the glass, for whiskey. I had no idea. So I have this beautiful Scottish Edinburgh crystal little whiskey glass tumbler, and I thought that was like real perfection. Okay, just centering this. There we go. Photograph. I thought that was like, yeah, that's just where it's at. However, you do live and learn. I'll do it. There we go. Let's take one of the actual bottles. Yeah, the only way you can learn is by contrasting things, okay? And so that's partly why I'm doing three different whiskies tonight to get started. But the other week, I discovered that the beautiful Scots crystal glass is absolutely useless because it doesn't give you any aroma, doesn't give you any palate. And what I discovered was this wasted glass, that's wasted with an I, this is brilliantly designed, not by someone who's great at beautiful inlaid crystal, but someone who is brilliant at understanding whiskey. And what you need is a glass made and developed by a whiskey distiller who knows their stuff. And this glass is fabulously heavy on the bottom, right? So that alone is going to make you hold and revere the whiskey and really, you know, lift it very, very carefully. So you should have it in the palm of your hand and all of your five digits are around it. And you're just going to nose it very carefully. But what's amazing about it is the waist allows for you to breathe the aroma in on two levels, the level of the whiskey and above the whiskey. It's so powerful, it's going to knock you sideways. So get yourself, however you get one, I really don't care, the Jura whiskey glass. Okay, you can see in my picture, it's an absolute precision instrument. So this whiskey is an unbelievably complex dark bronze, really deep apricot, looks like a brandy. And it's utterly entrancing, enchanting and enigmatic on the nose. It's throwing out an absolute ton of different scents. Right, I'm not going to tell you what I'm smelling. Go and buy the stuff for yourself. But let's see how it's going to function on the plate. So just take a tiny sip and allow it to revolve around your tongue and then just coat the inside of your mouth if you can, but don't glug it and don't swallow it too quickly. Right, so it's not massively different to the sherry cask edition, but it comes across as being more pronounced, much richer, much stronger, and with a much, much more snake of a bite. Okay, it's got a huge bite on it. It's not soft and sweet like the sherry glass is. It's really punchy, really poignant. I think, again, you know, for a very starter, the Tammy Volin sherry cask is a good idea, because you get an idea of what whiskey tastes like. Now, this one is absolutely perfect for your next whiskey, right? This one is massively hitting the front of my mouth, just above my teeth, and that's a fantastically good sign. So it's matured in American oak barrels. You can definitely get a good taste of that, right? And then the tawny port casks. That's incredible. There's so much complexity built into that already. It's only the first week of September and I'm already talking about winter. In there, I am getting masses. I'm getting masses of raisins, honey, toffee, like slightly burnt toffee that you might have on fireworks night. It's a Speyside, so we're not talking about meat or peat and malt or port. We're talking about port, you know, but there's loads of kind of like mince meat, mince pie goodness in there, including a really nice, very fatty pastry. That would go absolutely brilliantly with not too mature a cheddar. Yeah, maybe a Somerset Brie. Some Cheshire. Very, very much a cheese wine. Yeah. Cheese wine whiskey. It would also be absolutely brilliant with mince pies and custard. Perfect. It's very, very much a dessert after dinner small cigar whiskey. It's very gentle and quite feminine for a whiskey, right? But it's massively hard hitting. I think you're going to get a lot of joy out of this one. I think it's superb. I think it's an absolute joy to behold. I think it's almost a privilege to drink something that's been crafted with so much attention to detail. I think it's absolutely lush. It would be great with celery, apple, grapes, pork pie. Yeah. That is serious. If you want to start working your way into Scotch and you don't think you like Scotch, try that. Tammy Volin Port Cask Edition. That is seriously going to up your game. I think it's up to you. You decide whether one right or wrong. I'm just going to get another glass so that I can taste the next one without drinking all of that one in one go. I'll get that Scots glass that I was talking about. Right, so it's a dark bronze burnished gold. Okay, and it's got really great cinder toffee notes, but there's a lot of, you know, mince pie in there. There's all sorts of lovely, lovely things. Very, very different to anything I've had before. Absolutely, you know, definitely a house whiskey for me. Well, I'm probably going to have about 20 house whiskies by the time I finish this series, but massively recommend. I paid £23, and that has got to be the best £23 I've spent for a very, very long time. Right, so what I'm going to go for now is the Famous Grouse Smoky Black. And I'm not going to make any apology for buying this. Yeah, it's, you know, I would never drink the Famous Grouse. I just wouldn't. But this is a slightly different bird. This is a black grouse, okay? So we don't want to grouse about this, do we? It was cheap as chips. It was 17 quid, all right? And I think it's going to be a whiskey that's worthy of just drinking on its own without mixing it with anything. All right, so already I'm getting a very, very different look. Although, when you look at them through the bottle, they look similar. In fact, the Famous Grouse, Black Grouse, Smoky Black, looks a little bit darker, I would say. But in the glass, it's much more of an ordinary gold. Slightly dark, but basically a gold, you know, like a field of wheat in July. So on the nose, I'm getting almost nothing compared to the other one. So if you're getting masses of shooting alcohol on the nose, you know you've got a winner, okay? Bearing in mind that all these are as alcoholic as one another. Now, I think we're going to start seeing what is inside of a drink. You know, it's not the colour, it's not the brand, it's not the pedigree, it's not the alcoholic content, is it? There's something much deeper going on. Right, so I'm not going really a great deal on the nose. Bit of wheat from, you know, a nice field in July perhaps, but that's about it. Now, this whiskey's not trying to position itself as anything very grand. But if you want a whiskey that's just a bit better than your bog standard blends, this is the one to go for. It's probably a little known secret. Right, forget your White and Mackays and your Bells and your Teachers, whatever they knock out these days. This is, if you want a cheap as chips, pretty good whiskey. This is pretty damn good, right? It's a starter. It's an entry point. I'm just going to take another couple of sips, and then I'm going to kind of describe. I mean, it's a beginner's whiskey. There's no doubt about that, but it's way better than all those basic blends that you can get. But it's fabulously velvet, okay? And by that, I mean it's easy to drink, even neat. It's not going to take any difficulty to just drop the volume in that bottle pretty quickly. It would be an amazing one to have as a whiskey mac, but this winter, I don't want to see any ginger wine. I just don't want to see any ginger wine. I just want to see neat whiskey, okay? Because I want to become a whiskey aficionado, and the way to educate yourself is to spend some money and take some time. Yeah, so there is no doubt to my mind, this is going to be way the bottom of the heap of everything I try, right? But it is worth trying. It's worth just having there, you know, lurking in the background. We ask ourselves, why is it called Smoky Black? I mean, the Famous Grouse is a red grouse, and the hills of Scotland are laced with heather. I've brought some back with me for my recent trip. Went up to Mount Eagle on the Black Isle. That was about the northernmost point I got this time. It describes itself as smooth, peaty and aromatic. So it's pretty appealing, isn't it? And it's got some print, which is gold on black, which is no way I'm going to read that, but it talks about Master Blender. And that's the thing about the Famous Grouse. They're really, really proud in their skills at blending. Right, and the idea of these blends is that they come out with the same nauseating junk year on year, which even for them is quite an attribute. In general, I just keep away from anything that says blended, because it's not splendid. It's just trying to sell you some gunk for as high a price as they think they can get away with. But I do think, yeah, this is a good beginner's, it's like, you know, if you want to climb Mount Ben Nevis, you know, don't go for Ben Nevis first. Try the Black Isle first, and then when you've walked up there and back, you think, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Just work your way up. That's the thing. It's just a little shade better than your average blends, right? It says it's peaty, you know, and it's called Smoky Black. I mean, I've drunk enough whiskies now to know it's kind of pants, right? But nevertheless, I think it's not a bad one to just have there on a sideboard and, you know. Yeah, it's okay. It's velvet gold, it's wheaten, it's got a little charm all of its own, you know. See what you think about it. I mean, it's very difficult to say anything positive about it after I've just tried this port cask edition, but hey. So let's get on to the big boy now, and this is in many ways the whiskey against which we taste everything else, right? This is the benchmark of Scotch whisky, is the Lafroig. Okay. Very, very green bottle. Whereas the other two are clear bottles. And I think that's because they want you to see how delicious the liquid looks inside. And the Lafroig just doesn't really care what you think, because it's got a name for itself. Okay. So the Famous Grouse is a screw cap. The Tamiya Vuolin is a pretty nice plasticated little cork, like a port cork. And this one is just a little bit more quality. Just a bit more quality. Lafroig Distillery from Islay. So Islay likes to set the pace, you know, for peaty whiskies. Right, so rather like the Smoky Black, this is a very golden gold. It just slightly on the side of being burnished, but it's not anywhere near the darkness of the port cask. On the nose. Now this is a nose, and I knows I'm not the only one that knows this, but this is a nose that you want to spend about 5 to 10 minutes just nosing, way before you get any of this golden nectar on your tongue. So get yourself a really nice Dura wasted glass, right, with a heavy bottom, and then just pour some Lafroig in, and then just nose it for at least 5 minutes. Nosing the whiskey is part of the anticipatory enjoyment. And then just start to think about Scottish things, you know, the beautiful outlines of the islands, the rough sea, the heather, the beautiful bird life, you know, the kilts, the sporrans, the scandews down the sock, the interesting tartans, you know, the gaiety of Scottish dancing, and, you know, everything you can think of about Scotland and its legend, and let that just unfold amongst your taste buds as you just nose it. Do not waste yourself on tasting it until you've nosed it for at least 5 minutes. Well, you can't really know what life is until you've let that go up through your nostrils for at least 5 minutes. With not even a suggestion of tasting it. That is absolute magic. It's like a claymore stuck in your gizzard. Really beautiful. that's deserving of little flag tags on your socks, which should be folded down carefully, right? It's about attention to detail. This is a well-crafted love, a passion, a dedication, a courage, an originality, which cannot be overlooked. It doesn't matter what you think about Scotland or whiskey. This particular malt is the top of the trees. It's something so splendid. Needs time to anticipate and just lay yourself open to the sheer wholehearted hedonistic enjoyment of it. Ready? Depends how familiar you are with the taste. When I was in my 20s, I thought, oh no, that's too much. That's too much of a good thing. I can't deal with that. But now, in my 50s, it seems glorious and absolutely perfect. We've got heather, we've got molten gold, the ambrosia of the gods, the nectar of the goddesses. We've got flayed plums and slaughtered wheat kernels. We've got bastardized barley. We've got all sorts of tastes that we shouldn't really have. We've got the salt of pork scratchings. We've got the memory of a long dead but well brewed beer. We've got the castigation of a rejected crown prince. We've got the escape to the Isle of Skye. We've got the battering of Bannockburn. I think if you're going to do malt whiskies with me this year, and there's no reason why you shouldn't, because they're as cheap as chips once you start buying them on offer, and they're some of the best value spirits you're going to buy. Probably just don't bother with the famous grouse smoky black. I mean, it's all right, just if you want, you know, it's a giveaway, but you know, it hasn't got a lot to offer compared to the others, right? It's all right, it's very nice, it's a good starting point, right? But this Tammy Voulin pork cask, I cannot recommend it highly enough. It's right where it's at for a space side. You're going to get absolute ton of interlowing interest, right? But you, if you're going to do more whiskies, you have got to have a Laphroaig. You've got to have a Laphroaig there to taste everything against the Laphroaig. And what's going to happen is you're going to get measured into the Laphroaig and you're going to go, oh yeah, yeah, that's where it's at. Yeah, I like that, yeah. Because we've got heather, we've got honey, we've got peat, we've got smoke, we've got claymore stabs and scandu slaying. We've got a tam o' shanter dipped in bull's blood and sheep that have flayed themselves on barbed wire. ''1815 established. I've got so into Laphroaig that I can't even taste its sort of myriad complexities. The whole thing just blends into a beautiful, married, whole, really. It is perfection on the tongue. You know, arguably it's the only one you need, but the whole point of this series is to try and see if we can find some variable, interesting complexities, okay? If you want to develop a magnificent palate for everything under the sun, you're going to have to head Scotland ways and get yourself some scotch, right? So, beginner juice, Famous Grouse Smoky Black. It's not a bad place to start, and it's cheap as chips. Tammy of Yulin. Go for the sherry cask if you want, but then try the port cask. You're going to like both of them, but you're going to be blown away by the port cask. It really is seriously good. Even against the Lafroy, it's got masses and masses to offer. I think it's up there in the same pinnacle. I do. You know, it's different. It's completely different. One's an Islay with peat and one's a Speyside, which is predominantly, it's all about how it's been barreled. I mean, we're not told precisely how the Lafroig has been barreled. Let's have a look on the back. They call it the original one, our 10-year-old. I mean, 10 years, that's a lot of time to be spending in barrels. Distinctive character that still holds true to the spirit of Ian Hunter, who first created it over 75 years ago. That bold, smoky taste, followed by a hint of seaweed. Beautiful. When I was in Scotland and I was paddling in the water, I was picking up seaweed and eating it, right? Because I wanted to take a bit of Scotland away with me. Of a surprising sweetness and long finish, has made Lafroig the pinnacle experience of Islay single malt. Huge smoke, seaweedy, intense peat with a surprising hint of sweetness. And I think that's absolutely true. It is, when you take it away, it is sweet. It's the sweetness of it, the heather honey that lasts and lingers with you. And it's surprising because there is a saltiness. There's a saltiness of roll malt herrings in there. But it's the long-lasting heather honey sweetness that lingers. And if you can get that over and above coughing down the peaty smokiness, then you're really starting to tread where it's at. It's the same with cigars. You can't get past that sort of cough, 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 and then endure and enjoy the indulgence of what the smoke has to offer you. Okay. Cigars and malt whiskey is perfect. Blend made in heaven, it is. It really is a marriage. You know? Right, so I'm just going to go. Oh, there's no point retasting the Smoky Black, because after the Lafroy, I'm not going to taste anything. It's going to taste like water. But yeah, so against the Lafroy, the port cask is looking absolutely, it's shouting, grab a bit of me, right? You can probably tell by the length of my talking that I'm massively into these things. Whiskies. It's a labour of love, and I hope that my drinking it reflects something of the beauty of the distilling process. And my next trip to Scotland will be all about distilleries and islands and just getting from one place to another. Hopefully with a bit of bird life, a few caught fish fried, you know, there and then in a frying pan on the beach, and a bit of travelling about, a few photographs of, you know, mountains and stuff. Beautiful. Beautiful. And see if I can shoot a grouse or a crow. Apparently crow tastes just as nice as grouse, so that's a good tip. Yeah, the famous crow, that's a good idea for my first whiskey. The famous crow, or the infamous crow. Yeah, the infamous crow. Hooded crow, because the crows in Scotland are grey and black. They're sort of tartan, you know? Bit of a tart. If you like other types of spirits and you're trying to break your way into the knotted fort, which is Scotch whiskey, you have got to go via the Tammy Volin Port Cask Edition, because that's going to give you all the tasting skills you need, right? And if that's the only one you ever get to and you love it, I think, yeah, we're all right. We're doing all right. That is, I'm so pleased I just bought that. That is incredible. That is just like, it's like getting to Fort William. Fort William is the gateway to the Highlands. Yeah, you're not even in Scotland until you get to Fort William. And you've got to get through the Glencoe Pass to get to Fort William. Yeah? And then you buy your tartans and you tart yourself up and off you go. Well, I'm a happy bunny. I've got some nice whiskies. Brilliant. Right, so these will keep me going for a couple of weeks or so. And then every 2 or 3 weeks, I'll try and buy a new duo and taste them with you. And I don't mind if I do take the time, you know, because this is one of the great loves and passions of my life. Discovering beautifully made spirits that raise your spirits and just have absolute pedigree, and they're moving us forwards, right? So, you know, the famous Grouse Black Smoky has been around probably more than 20 years, and the Lafroig has been around a great deal of time, 75 years apparently, but this Tammy Volin Port Cask Edition is pretty new off the shelf, you know. So out of the three of those, because I know the other two from long ago, right? The Port Cask is absolutely the superstar tonight, right? Because, I mean, that is just, oh, it's evocative of your first trip to Scotland. But it's also got so much to offer. It's a massively good cheese, grape, raisins, mince pie type of, you know, that's going to be, I think that's going to be my house whiskey. That really is. Oh, it's glorious. I can't say enough about it. I don't need to say anything about the Lafroig. It just speaks for itself, right? But yeah. Am I one happy bunny tonight? I'm one happy bunny. And I'm only a week back from Scotland. Get up there yourself. Go see the rose pink sands of Rosemarkie. Walk up the Fairy Glen. And have a happy chappy or whiskey in the Plough Inn. It's a beautiful little place. Really and truly, it's all you need in life. If you wound up there and you can go anywhere else, you wouldn't be poor. You wouldn't be poor. You wouldn't be poor to Cask Edition. Beautiful. Make it your thing this winter to get inside or outside of some fantastic malt whiskies with me. Okay, we're going to start looking at the Jura collection. There's a lot of them. And over time, we'll discover more and more and more and more. But I think we'll take these two as standards. So Lafroig for the PT and the Port Cask for the, you know, non-PT, but very, very complex and innovative malt whiskies. I don't think anything is moving the world of alcohol forwards as spectacularly as Scotch malts are. But don't forget, there's some fantastic Welsh malts as well. And the other day, I just drove past the English whiskey distillery as well. So we'll have a look at that, shall we?